Hey, y'all. Welcome. This is Winning at Life. It is live financial news talk radio that we've been doing for 11 years. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. And yeah, we do this weeknights at 7 for those new joining us. You repeat listeners, welcome back. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, better call Gregory. Yeah, me. Maybe I can give you some help. It's kind of what we do every day. For years, we've done this. It's my day job as well, if you didn't know. I'm in the financial services world. 504-260-0995. Download that Winning at Life app. Connect to the Winning at Life Nation. You can stream audio. Watch us on Facebook Live. Text, email, call through the app. It doesn't cost you anything to download. I was wanting to say free, but then... You know, then they say, well, you should say complimentary. Well, it's not complimentary because you're not doing anything to get it except just downloading it, right? Complimentary would be like getting it with something is what I always feel like. You know, the diningware is complimentary. The glass of water is complimentary.
I don't like saying free because it sounds like we're in a commercial. It is not free.
The cost is borne by Gregory. How about
it
that?
It is out there. And you can go and get it. It's not free. It's just there, isn't it? It's there at no cost to you. But hopefully can bring you some benefit by connecting. And yeah, once again, you can watch us. Hey, everybody on Facebook Live. We're on some other streaming channels. Yeah, a bunch of them, in fact. But hey, watch us over there. And that's James Parker. Hey, James, what's going on?
Just real quick, just because
we are who we are.
We have a tropical storm warning that's issued for basically the broadcast area that touches the ocean of Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
So that's a lot of land.
Yeah, basically from south of Lafayette all the way to Pensacola. So this is literally within the stations that we're on right now. It's from tip to tip of the Winning at Life Nation. But it's going to turn into or supposed to turn into a tropical storm tomorrow, and then it's going to be affecting this broadcast area about the time we come on the air Saturday morning. So it'll start be hitting the western part of our broadcast area a little before we come on the air, and then we'll be going through it with you on Saturday. So,
well, I can shorten this weather cast here.
Okay,
we're gonna have rain for days. There you go, starting tomorrow afternoon,
right? And there's a little bit of a flood warning that stretches from the middle of the Louisiana coast all the way to the tippy end of WBUV's listening signal over there at the intersection of Alabama and Florida. Floribama right there is where it kind of ends.
It's a bummer, but it's a beautiful day today.
Yes. Right now, you have no idea a storm's coming, but it is. That's part of the reason we're here. I also want to remind you that our restaurant of the week is the NOLA Brewing Tap Room. We're going to be talking to the general manager of the NOLA Brewing Tap Room on Saturday's show. And Gregory and I are actually fans of some of their brews. You're probably more familiar with their brews in their tap room. Not you, Gregory, the guy that's listening to us. But in the Winning at Life green room, there's a couple of NOLA brews that are in the regular rotation, the NOLA Blonde and the Irish Channel Stout.
Yeah, those are good.
Make a regular appearance here.
And I think that stout.
And did I have that printed out? But I think the NOLA Blonde is nominated for a Winnie again for best beer for 2 years in a row. We'll have an update on some of that too.
I think we have to go through those tomorrow and just double check.
Yeah,
drink some of them.
That's perfect. Research is how you get this right, and not just do it. But if we're going to do it, let's do it right. So yeah, we got to do a lot of drinking tomorrow. Anything before you get into the numbers here? Oh, you know what? I have one more thing before we get into the numbers. Charles Payne was coming back from commercial, and I thought this was cute. It was the Trader's Prayer. This is just a little 30-second clip here. I thought Gregory would get a kick out of this, and the guy listening is probably going to like it too.
Well, there may be some new, they may be newbies rather, but traders on Wall Street bets are just like all other stock investors, right? Hoping the Fed stays accommodative forever. I want you to check out this prayer on the Twitter yesterday before the FOMC decision. Oh, our heavenly pumper, J. Powell be thy name, thou printer turned on, thy pump be done on RH as it is in other brokerages. Give us these tendies, our daily trades, forgive us for our losses as we do not screenshot those and lead us not into destitution, but deliver us fat stacks. Amen.
Social Security. If you want to know more about it, we have a Social Security workshop. 11 o'clock, June 22nd. Going to be about an hour. We're going to talk about Social Security, the different rules that affect when you turn it on, you know, the impact of your decisions. You know, if you turn it on at 62, yeah, you've turned it on early. We're going to talk about your full retirement age. We're going to talk about deferring. We're going to talk about maybe when you should turn on a spousal benefit. And then the impact is if your spouse dies. We're going to talk about that as well. It is a giant decision. If you're turning on, the way I look at it, if you're turning on a $20,000, say your Social Security benefit's $20,000 a year, it's a $500,000 decision. Because if you're probably wondering, well, where are you getting that calculation from? Are you adding up all the dollars? No. But if you're looking to generate a $20,000 a year income and you're going to use, say, 4% distribution, you need $500,000. So once again, it's a $500,000 decision or more that you're making for your household, each of you. Turning on $20,000 of Social Security benefit, it's a $1 million decision. And you're reducing it if you turn it on early. You're growing it if you defer past FRA, but should both of you defer? Should either of you defer? We're going to be talking about these rules on Tuesday, 11 a.m. at the GRA Event Center in Metairie. There's one number to call if you want to reserve a seat, 504-832-9200. I think you can go to gregoryricks.com and reserve it, right?
Yes.
Is that over at gregoryricks.com? Don't hesitate. Reserve your seat.
All right. We have a couple of nominees for Winnies that I want to run by you. Number one and two, these guys sound almost the same. Mike in Mobile was asking about, he won $100,000 off of lottery tickets, and he was wondering, okay, what are the taxes going to be? What should I do with the money? Thomas and Destrahan inherited the same amount of money. These calls are 7 months apart, but the advice is very similar. So I'm just going to roll through these back to back real quick. These are two nominees for the Winnies, and you'll get the full award show on Saturday's show. All right, let's talk to Mike in Mobile. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mike?
Yes, sir. I'm 74 on Social Security, and I purchased a scratch-off ticket a couple of days ago, and I hit for $100,000, and I have not cashed it in yet, but I was wondering what that will do to my Social Security, if anything.
You're definitely going to pay taxes on probably 85% of your Social Security this year because your income just jumped up a whole bunch. You received $100,000 of taxable income. So
okay.
We're not talking about disability. At your age, we're talking about your Social Security. So what's going to happen? Yeah, it's going to be taxed if it wasn't before.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
What do you think, Mike?
My Social Security is not being taxed at this time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was really going to affect me real bad or not.
I'd say you're coming out way ahead on that scratch off. Congratulations on that, Mike. Yeah, you're going to pay some pay some taxes, but this is a good way to owe some taxes. You just came into a good bit of money. Congrats.
And you can rest assured now, if you never buy another scratch off ticket again, you probably ended up ahead.
His Social Security hasn't been taxed. Why? Because he has an income below, and we didn't get the amount of his, but he is an individual, which meant his combined income is below $25,000. So none of his Social Security wages are being taxed. But this year, it's going to be taxed, and it's going to be taxed at the 85% rate because his income has swelled to above $34,000, which means 85% of his Social Security is going to be taxed. And why did that happen, James?
Because he won a scratch-off lottery ticket for $100,000.
So to help the rest of you that have questions about that, to determine if your Social Security will be subject to taxation, you have to be aware of the provisional income levels. The following forms of income figure into your provisional income calculation. And the way we get to that is one half of your Social Security income, part of your provisional. I've got five other parts. Any distributions taken out of your tax-deferred accounts like IRAs, 401ks, any 1099 or interest generated from your taxable investments, any employment income, yeah, that's taxable, any rental income, and get this, this is one that surprises most, interest from muni bonds, from municipal bonds, those have to be figured in to determine if Social Security is going to be taxable. And once again, I was talking about the individuals there, but for those with joint returns, if your income is between, your provisional income is between $32,000 and $44,000, you may be taxed up to 50% on your benefits. If it's more than $44,000, you may be taxed up to 85% on your Social Security benefits. There you go.
Thomas and Destrahan. Sorry, there's a typo on the screen. Thomas and Destrahan, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Rick. That's what it says.
So I'm in a position where I just inherited some money.
Congrats.
And I really need to know where to put it, what to do with it, and who to trust with it, ultimately.
Well, first off, what you have to do is work with somebody that puts you first, puts your best interest forward as a core philosophy. And then there has to be a conversation such as getting to know you, find out what your financial situation is, what is your goals and objectives with what you're doing, and then how does this inheritance fit into that? And then depends on what you're wanting to do with this block of money and when will it be needed? And then also another thing has to be figured out, what is your risk tolerance? Do you have a risk tolerance? You might not, I don't need a risk tolerance test because I can tell you it's zero. So you could be a zero, but you also have to figure out what is that number?
Many years ago, I did have a high risk tolerance and then 2008 hit and, I pretty much lost everything. And since I've come into this windfall, if you will, it's really kind of my chance to start over and do things right and safely.
Yeah. And what I would get at is our philosophy, the Invest 50-50 philosophy, is utilizing the proper asset classes, diversification in each one. Doesn't mean that everything's at risk. And my thing is, I think for the average person, probably 25% or less of their money should be associated with stocks. So you can get diversification. You shouldn't have an 08 type of event ever have the opportunity of wiping you out. But once again, it goes to your risk tolerance. What is the purpose of the money going forward? When does it need to start kicking out income? Or is there some other jobs for that money? And it's, you know, that first meeting has to be a good get to know you session that you feel comfortable enough from it. Say, okay, I feel good about this. We'll have another meeting. And then you can talk more about the game plan of the money because you've got to know them and they've got to know you as well. And that's, you know, in my day job, that's kind of how we go about that to make sure it's a best fit. And don't let somebody pressure you in making decisions on that first meeting. It's like walking into a car dealer and not to pick on them, but you've heard some of them like, oh, you got to buy today. If you leave, you're going to miss this opportunity. No, you can come back tomorrow and still buy a vehicle. You can come back tomorrow and find out more about who you're working with on your money.
All right, we're back live. Now, that's two of the nominees for the Winnies that you're going to hear in their entirety on Saturday's show. Notice I didn't say on Saturday. I just said on Saturday's show because you might hear it on Monday or you might hear it on Sunday afternoon when you're watching it on Facebook Live or whatever. So those two, I just love the overlap of those two calls back to back. They are 7 months apart, and that is really how a good crucible to test the guy that's giving you advice here. Does he say the same thing over time? And those two calls back to back, a lot of similarities there. A lot of similarities. Worried about taxes. Where do you put it? Don't want to be too risky. Don't want to lose it. And I thought it matched up great.
Yeah, it is core philosophy to live by, and that's what you get when you listen to the show or go to my team for help, is consistency there.
Yeah, and I see a lot of these people that over the course of the show have gotten inherited money and they tell the story, not like with a sense of excitement, like they just won the Wheel of Fortune or Plinko or whatever, but a sense of relief. They're like, oh my goodness, now I can have a retirement plan instead of just, you know, a few $10,000 in a 401k and scrape and buy on Social Security. That really turns into magic money for some people. And I can see it in your face. You love helping people with inherited assets.
Yeah, well, that's special money that you want to look out for. But a lot of times that's a life-changing event for people. There's an article I read a number of months ago and came to my attention again recently, the topic, and it's really because of IRS trying to get their money back that they're owed. And I know this had affected some financial firms that got rolled up in this, and it was really impacted there. But this syndicated conservation easements, you know, we're always kind of, look, everybody out there, well, maybe not everybody, but people with money are susceptible to tax savings schemes. And what you got to be careful of, two kind of things when you're looking for saving tax dollars and somebody gives you this, hey, does this work? Ask yourself two questions. Is this self-dealing, or is it tax avoidance there? And my concern is that it could well be tax avoidance. See, the syndicated conservative easement deal is where they're buying land that really isn't going to be used, and then they get an evaluation, mark it up, and say, well, they're basically doing a deal and writing it off because they're not going to use it. And that's kind of a big problem out there, because the IRS has now started going back and they're out there looking for their money regarding this. A Forbes article looking at, there's a sign IRS is raising its stake in the attack on syndicated conservation easements. Jennifer Black, senior counsel, procedure and administrative, authored two chief counsel advices. It's a bunch of numbers there in response to National Fraud Council, Carolyn Schneck. Schneck was asking about the IRS goes determining the applicability of civil fraud penalty on examinations of different sorts of partnerships that have participated in SCEs. You know, there was a few years ago that I was making some inquiries that, you know, any strategies to save taxes. And I had an acquaintance mention something to me and said, hey, you've got this where you can put money in this land that's going to be donated, it's not going to be used, and it turns into a pretty good write-off. Actually, if you put in a dollar, you can write off four. And okay, so I said, is there somebody that can explain more of how this works to me? And I was given a number and stuff and some emails exchanged, and then I had a phone conversation. And after I had that phone conversation, I was good, meaning I didn't want to talk about it anymore. I just that does not sound right to me. Here's a term I get to. I can't wrap my mind around it. So you know what that means? Don't go forward. Well, there's been a lot of people, a lot of firms, a lot of CPAs, a bunch of people in trouble that, convinced investors to put money into that. Like, you put $100,000 in it, you can write off $400,000. That sounded good. And I talked about this in a different way. Actually, last night on the show? Was I here? Okay. I kind of get mixed up in the days there because I was up in Covington. You were here too. Yeah. So that verifies I was here. So yeah, I talked about it last night about something else regarding that. And where I'd had a conversation with somebody who's looking for some tax savings because of deferred comp. And my suggestion was, look, don't do that, because if what they're proposing to you does not work out, you're going to find out down the road, and you're going to have to pay that money back, that tax money you owe Uncle Sam, plus penalties and interest, and there might be some other fraud charges in there. And I'm looking at a headline here, settling conservative easement penalties, IRS, and some new insights. Accountants plead guilty on $1.2 billion in bad charitable deductions. So that friend of mine that I had this conversation a few years ago was like, just go ahead, pay the taxes and put it into the max funding strategy and we can put it to work and you can start taking tax-free income out later. And that's a play on life insurance that has the capability of doing that if structured properly. And it is in the IRS code, clearly there. It's not some workaround, some grand idea. There's no taking overvaluating stuff that's not worth that. And so you have to be careful. And it goes back to those questions. Are you doing some self-dealing? You know, the way you're moving money around, is it of interest to you? And the other is, it clearly is this tax avoidance? And if you consider, like, if that's concerning, what is this self-dealing? Am I doing tax avoidance? Then you probably shouldn't do it. So just be careful out there when somebody says, oh, we got this new tax thing going on. If you can't quite grasp it, stay away.
Well, and I've heard you tell a bunch of other people throughout the years on this show, it's basically the Wesley Snipes rule on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. It doesn't matter if someone else sets it up for you. That's not an excuse. If someone else takes your money and they do something that's untoward to the tax laws, it's your signature on your tax returns and you're going to be held accountable. I didn't know is not a defense. And we learned that the hard way from Wesley Snipes. If it's your tax return, you're the one that's going to go to prison. They might get in trouble too, but you're going to get rolled up in it. And you just saying, well, they tricked me into it. That hasn't worked for a lot of people in the past.
Yeah. And if you're looking to do a search, it's just go to your search engine, donating conservation easement. And you can find out a good bit of information. There's a lot going on there. A lot of people being tracked down. And when they get to the firms that were orchestrating this, then they're moving on to the investors. They are going to go to everybody and get their money back. There's a paperwork trail of all of this. So be careful out there on that stuff.
All right. If you have a question for the show, 504-260-0995. That's 504-260-0995. You can also give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. Just want to review this soundbite that we first played for you yesterday again, but you brought it up in the first segment, so I want to roll it back out there.
I expect that we'll be able to say more about
this is Jerome Powell.
As we see more data, basically. There's not a lot of more light I can shed on that. But you can think of this meeting that we had as the talking about meeting, if you like. And I now suggest that we retire that term, which has served its purpose well, I think.
I just love that part.
You know, it probably, I wonder if, you know, because they usually plan these conversations out. Janet Yellen gave us the impression of her time in that the whole purpose of the Fed meeting was to figure out what words to use. Like, who's got Nostradamus's dictionary over there? Like, pull it out. We got to explain this a way that they won't understand what we're saying. But he just simply come out, yeah, we're going to talk about talking about it. Well, that bit him. But what he's wanting to say is, you know, we're in no hurry. I'm going to explain it to you.
Right.
We're in no hurry to have that discussion. So what do I say to put off discussion? Well, just tell them we're going to think about talking about it. Then talk about it.
Okay. 504-260-0995. Or you can give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. The thing that gets me about that is there was clearly some subterfuge. Of course they were talking about it. They just don't want you to think it's going to happen because they're scared that tapering is going to tank the market, because it did the last time they tried to do it in the fourth quarter of 2018 when they tried to pare back some of the asset purchases. Oh,
that didn't go well.
Coming up on Saturday's show, the Winnies. It's our annual award show, the Winning at Life Awards. You know, all the cool kids call it the Winnies. You know, we got to shorten it. One of the categories is our favorite caller of the year. Not the one that got the most YouTube clicks or the most Facebook views, but our favorite caller of the year. And I'm supposed to pretend like I don't know who's going to win, so I'm just going to tell you this is one of the more favored nominees. But big, big odds on favorite to win the Winnie coming up on Saturday for favorite call of the year. Miss Sims in New Orleans. You're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mrs. Sims?
I have a question about pension plans, or pension money. Let me give you just a little background. My husband worked for this company for a few years, and when he passed away I lost him in Katrina. But when he passed away, he was not working for the company at that time. He had moved on. In November, I got a phone call from a company, and they said that I was due a pension. And not only were they going to start the pension, but they were going to pay me all the back pay from 2005 when he passed with interest. And so I received that money, and I have three questions about it. I got a lump sum plus a monthly payment that I'm going to receive. And I assume that money is taxable at the regular rate?
Yes, it will be taxed as ordinary income.
Ordinary income.
Yes.
Okay. My second, is there any required minimum distribution that I have to do with that money?
No.
Is it treated that way?
It was paid directly to you, correctly?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's no RMD on that. You've already received the money.
Yes. Okay. And thirdly, can I put that money into a Roth IRA? Can I turn it over into a Roth IRA?
You cannot, because that was a distribution from a plan. It's already been distributed to you. And for you to put it into an IRA or the Roth version of an IRA, you would have to still be working or generating earned income to qualify for that contribution.
Oh, okay. Because I thought since it was a retirement pension that it could go to a Roth, but you're saying it can't.
It cannot, because it's not earned income to you. And what you're referring to, you can't roll that over into that account because it's a distribution from a pension.
Okay. Well, that answers all my questions. It was a windfall, I must say this. I'm happy with it, but I just had to get these things answered, you know.
Because
it was 15 years of it plus interest, so it was nice.
Well,
I totally unexpected. I was not aware that I had this come into me. And the way it was found is some other company took over the finances of this previous company, and they were going through the records, and that's how it was found.
So you were unaware that he had this pension from his past. Wow.
That I was due any spousal money from it.
This sounds like a lottery winning almost, Gregory. 15 years of missed pensions?
Found money. You know, it's like, I was going through the attic and opened this big old chest, and it was full of retirement money. And that's what she's got. Yeah.
So it's just regular income on my taxes. I pay tax on it. And the income I receive every month from now on is still just regular income.
Yes, ma'am. It will be taxed, you know, once again, as ordinary income. Has the monthly payment started?
Yes.
So how do you feel about the monthly amount?
I received a lump sum payment in December.
Okay.
So it's in 2020.
Okay.
And then the monthly payments also start at December the 1st. So I am receiving it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I wish I could put it in the Roth, but that's the way it goes. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. But you can put it in savings.
Oh, yes.
You'll need it for future. That
absolutely.
Definitely be
the
plan.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for sharing your story, and it's a very happy story to share.
It is.
Money shows up like that. If you need anything, let us know.
I will. Bye-bye.
Oh, Mrs. Sims, I'm so jealous because I'm waiting for someone to give me a call. Be like, hey, you got 15 years of missed payments here. Here's at least a six-figure, probably a seven-figure check of some sort.
And you could go through any number of scenarios where somebody probably drove off the road. Just saying, what? She didn't know about it? No. And you know, and we didn't delve into how they came together and how could that possibly be. But yeah, it could be where somebody, you know, it might have been 10 years ago they quit working at that job and they just didn't live long enough. And she didn't know about it. So, you know, another decade passes. And yeah, she's the beneficiary. They owe her that money. They cannot avoid paying her that. It's her money.
Part of me thinks, man, they could have got away with it if they hadn't said anything. It's awesome to see them doing the right thing. But you do wonder, even without anyone's ill intention, even if everyone's trying to do the right thing, how many of these fall through the cracks? There's got to be a few of them here and there. Isn't that a scary thought?
I would have to say they're probably is, but we hope it's rare for essentially what happened is somebody going through it. You know what was done? It was audited.
Some company bought another company and they went to clean up the books and found a bunch of stuff that had fallen through the cracks.
Yeah. And that's also, it goes on to, we've had this discussion before regarding life insurance that people have policies, die, and insurance companies kind of used to like not go looking for clients that have died, but now that playing field's kind of changed and they have to go out there and look for them.
All right, back live now. Thanks again to Ms. Sims in New Orleans. That call was just from January. And it is one of the nominees for the Winnies that you're going to hear on Saturday for the top call of the year on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What are you typing away over there? That is a suspicious type sequence you're doing on your laptop. I feel like you're about to come up with something on me here.
That was just bringing back a memory of a conversation I had a few years back with a gentleman that had a pension and did not want to turn it on. Had a pension, should have already turned it on, didn't want to turn it on. Never would give reasoning, but also if he died, his current wife would not receive that pension. I was greatly puzzled on it.
Does it get bigger if he waits or something?
No, not in that case either.
He just likes missing checks?
I never could get to the reasoning behind that. We didn't go forward working together. That might have some of that not making prudent decisions might have had something to do with that. You know, you have to have, you know, when we look at working with people, we have their best interest in mind. We have to think that way, but that is the way we're built. We're wired to give the best advice, put their interest forward. I always say what goes around comes around. We're sowing seeds. We're going to do what's best. If we do that, everything takes care of itself. But also, investors, savers, people accumulating money have to make good decisions about their money. And that gentleman was not making good decisions. What I wanted to get to is the why, but I never got there. So that's what I was doing, was looking that up.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I want to speculate on that. Don't
see, and I did a type here. Can a pension go away at death? So it's going to be subject to the plan. And if a member had already retired, the pension payments may either end at the member's death, referred to as a single life pension, or they may continue to pay benefits to a beneficiary in a reduced amount, referred to as a joint life or survivor pension. So it could well have been a type that went away. And that's what was concerning me, is like, well, then why isn't it turned on?
I feel like I'm missing a big chunk of information here that's kind of important in that decision-making process.
Yeah, well, I was too. I was like, I never got to the why. Why not turn it on?
I like Mrs. Sims' story better.
That's like Social Security at 70. You come across somebody at 72. Nah, I didn't want to turn it on.
I don't need it. I like those people. I don't need it. Well, it doesn't matter. Hey, I want to draw your attention to the YouTube channel for Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. There's a handful of new videos that we put up this week. I just want to brag on some of our awesome highlights that we have pulled from this show. And then in video form, you know how we do the live broadcast with Facebook Live and YouTube or whatnot? We go back and we pull video highlights and we put them back on these platforms. So if you go visit the Winning It Life Facebook page or YouTube channel, there's some great little nuggets for you to continue expanding your financial knowledge. The three we put up this week: Social Security options for your divorced mom. No, that's not hypothetical. That was based on a caller who came in and Gregory walked him through the process. Another guy called in and Gregory was helping him kind of juggle. He had contributed to a federal pension system and a state pension system, and he had some private work, and he was just seeing where these things overlapped, anything there was he needed to know about. And then we had a few of these calls recently, so we married them together into one topic: the options for Louisiana teachers, your retirement options for Louisiana teachers. Go find that at the Winning It Life YouTube channel.
Social Security Workshop, Tuesday, 11 a.m. Gregory Ricks and Associates, GRA Event Center.
Yeah, sign up at gregoryricks.com or 504-832-9200. 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for informational purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, legal advice, or tax advice. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Information and opinions contained herein are provided by third parties and have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any governmental agency. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
WRNO-FM, New Orleans, an iHeartRadio station. Available everywhere on our free iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.